Welcome to the podcast, College Degrees in Europe. My name is Jacob, and today I'm going to talk about a fascinating program that is located in Amsterdam. It is a liberal arts program that is offered by Amsterdam University College. And having been to college in the United States, a liberal arts college, it cost me a lot of money back then. And this particular program in Amsterdam, it only takes 3 years, and an annual tuition fee is only 15,000 euros. So without further ado, let's go ahead and talk to some of the current students at Amsterdam University College. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me here.
So my name's Jacob, and you are Sasha.
Yes.
And you're Gabriel.
Yes.
Okay. So where are you guys from?
So I think a lot of people at our university have like quite diverse or interesting backgrounds. And I think we're good examples of that to some extent. So I am from France. So both my parents were born and raised in France. However, I grew up in Hong Kong before moving to Amsterdam.
I'm Gabrielle. My parents are from France. So we speak French together sometimes. But then my dad is from Canada. And I grew up in Switzerland in the German-speaking part. So I kind of consider myself from all those three
places. Do you speak German too?
I do. Yeah.
Like fluently?
Oh, I haven't practiced it in a couple of years, but I definitely understand it fluently. Like German was my first language. So my first words, my first sentences were all in German. But then since I don't practice it enough, it kind of has gone on the back.
So we could even speak German to each other.
We could, because you're from Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, that's...
Okay, so, tell me a little bit more about your friends here. Are they all like you?
Ooh, I would say yes.
Yes, most of them. We definitely have a couple, you know, born and raised Dutch friends for sure. But I think the majority have grown up outside of the Netherlands and have even moved around to multiple places. I have a friend who's lived in London and in Lebanon, but also went back to France and then to Canada. So everywhere. And then we have some friends that have grown up in Amsterdam.
Okay. So who wants to do the honor to introduce your university, Amsterdam University College, or the program in general? You want to introduce it?
So we go to a liberal arts and science school in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam. And essentially it's modeled after a US system in which you enter and you sort of have an idea of what you want to study, which is your major.
Yeah.
So we have sciences, social sciences, and humanities. And within that, we have a lot of subcategories of all the different subjects that fall within those. But then the whole point of liberal arts and science is that you expand your knowledge and you kind of complement it with different different courses. So a lot of us have taken and actually have to take courses that are not in our major. So myself, as a science student, I have taken courses in law, I've taken courses in philosophy and in international relations. And the whole point is to look at all your interests, but also the world in different ways and different perspectives. So I think, yeah, that's sort of the gist.
Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of sense. But what's interesting for me, because I actually grew up in the States and I went to a liberal arts college in the United States. And I'm wondering, how is it really like to study here in Amsterdam? That's why kind of I'm producing today's episode. So let's start with that. So both of you went to international schools. That's what I realized.
Yeah.
I would assume a lot of the other students also went to international schools.
I would say it's common.
It's very common. Yeah. And how do you find this program, if I could ask? Walk me through this process.
In terms of how we found it, yeah.
How you found it, yeah.
Mine was mainly through my guidance counselor at my school. So I think in my second to last year of high school, we met regularly with our advisors, and after honestly kind of setting up like a profile, so once she got to know me, she essentially said, well, I can see that from your interests and what you want maybe in the next couple of years, you're looking at maybe a more tight-knit community rather than a very large institution. And so then we kind of went from there, and she brought up this idea of studying in the Netherlands, And so we looked at the university colleges and the system in general, and then we kind of went into the different cities and what maybe the different types of university colleges in the Netherlands could offer for me.
Did you only apply to programs in the Netherlands back then?
Yes, actually. So 4 different university colleges in the Netherlands, and then eventually decided.
How about you, Gabriel?
Very similar. I found it through my college counselor, but I think I went for it for a different reason. So I was looking at the Netherlands, but I also was looking at Canada. And I was kind of just looking at programs, but not really finding something that was exactly what I wanted to study, because I knew I wanted to do sciences and I knew I wanted to study health, but I was kind of like not done learning about the other things. And then I came across this program, and someone in my school was already here, so had already like gone through the process, and I basically spoke to them, and they were like, they really liked it, and they kind of told me about the program, and it was exactly what I was looking for.
Did you apply to other programs too?
Yes, I applied also Utrecht University College.
Yeah.
And I applied to also in Rotterdam. But then I applied to 2 in Canada. Yeah.
Okay. So you both went through the IB programs.
I didn't.
You didn't? What did you do?
So my school offered the IB, but it also offered the advanced placement, which is the AP American.
Wow, that's perfect. So you did the AP and you did the IB. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that okay? I ask for your scores?
Yeah. I got a 41 out of 45.
How about you, Gabriel? Your APs? How many APs?
I did 8 APs.
Okay, that's impressive too. Yeah.
I think I got like, I honestly don't remember. I think like I got.
You passed all the
tests. Okay. And I got like mostly like 4s and 5s. I think I got a 3 maybe in one place. Yeah. 2.
Okay, okay.
Oh, Quinn.
Okay, okay. Was that the only thing you needed for this program?
I didn't even need all my APs. Super honest.
Did you need anything else other than APs to apply?
I needed to pass AP Calculus, and I needed AP Calculus.
AP, but there are 2, AB yeah. or just one of them?
Yeah, the first one.
The first, the AB.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I had to have English, and I did like English literature.
How about the IB? Do you need anything else? Do you need like a recommendation letter, motivation, stuff like that? Like,
yes. So for the application process, you needed your grade transcript. We actually didn't know like any of our predicted grades. So that was done entirely through our school. But then we had some sort of motivation letter. I believe there was a prompt that we needed to respond to. Several questions that we needed to answer. Yes, they weren't, I think a lot of my friends were also applying to the US at the time. And yeah. I remember those were quite different to what we had to do. It was very much straightforward expressing why we thought we were a good fit to the university. But then another cool thing, I guess, that we had to do on top of that is create a study grid, a plan. So they ask students before they've even gotten accepted, so mm-hmm. in applying, to prepare and plan what the first 2 years of your time at AUC could look like. So it allows students to look at the course catalog in a lot of depth and see how they could make it work within their schedule. To also see if realistically you could fill out all of the blocks of time that we have with things that interest you. So I had to figure out in my first year where I would fit all of my language requirements or any method courses that we needed to take, but also elective courses. So we had some of that planning
okay.
to do from the get-go.
So how many hours would you say you spent on those 2 things, 2 extra things that we just mentioned? Was it very time intensive or not really?
No, not from what I remember.
Yeah.
I think the added workload is depending on how many universities you apply to. But okay. for the AUC one specifically, I wouldn't say I spent more than maybe 5 to 6 hours total.
And you did everything by yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I did mostly by myself. I would say, especially because a lot of the questions are very similar in the other university college applications. So you end up kind of, it like limits the time because you obviously still have like other things to write.
So tell me about your, oh, the tuition. So are you, both of you are EU citizens?
Yes.
Okay. How much do you pay and how much do non-EU citizens, non-EU students pay? Do you know the number?
I know the proportion. I believe that non-EU, so international fees, are about three times as much as local fees. And I think in our first year, tuition fees for, please correct me if I'm wrong, I believe were about 4,000.
Yes. So your first year at a Dutch university, you pay an extra fee, which is about like, I think it's about 1,000 to 1,500.
Yeah.
But it's just for the first year. It's almost like this like qualification fee. And then the second 2 years are a little bit less. So I think we pay around like 2,000 to 3,000 a year now. Because we've submitted that first 1,500. So it's a little bit weird. And you only really realize it if you go into it.
Yeah.
But we pay around that much.
Okay. And the program is for 3 years?
Yes. Yeah.
3 years. Okay. So do all students live on campus or how's it like for you?
Yes. Yeah. All of us have to live. We are required to live or at least pay rent in these dorms that are about like a 5 minute walk away.
How much?
Depends on the size of the room, but it's between like 200 and 500 a month, I would say.
That's very cheap. I'm sorry.
It is.
So why wouldn't you go there?
I think you could hear some people not understand why they are obliged to live in the dorms, but ultimately it is such a great opportunity. And when you look back to the reason why this program requires us to live in the dorms, it is with this idea that we are building a community and that our learning is best fostered when we are in close proximity to the academic building.
And also, I want to clarify, dorms sounds like we're in like the university dorm or like US university dorms with like three people in a room. Most of the rooms are these studio apartments. Where you have your own kitchen, you have your own bathroom with a shower. There's space for like a double bed, a kitchen table, a couch sometimes. Like it's a studio and it's a nice studio. And then there's also options of getting like a two-person room in which you have your own room and then there's a kitchen. And then there's the four-person apartments, which are on two floors with a living room and kitchen downstairs. And extra storage space.
Okay.
And usually laundry in there. So
amazing.
Yeah. So let me get this straight. When you get into this university, this program, you get housing automatically.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to straight that out. That's pretty.
One of the biggest pluses. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, if you know Amsterdam, if you know the Netherlands, it's one of the things that, you know, the politicians talk about all the time. Oh, we don't have housings.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But if you have that.
Yeah. And then we're a 5 minute walk from any person's apartment.
Like, see.
I live on the fifth floor somewhere and I can go all the way to the other end of the building.
So everyone knows everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
How many students are there per year?
About 270.
Per year.
270?
So currently we're 878 students in total.
Okay. Do you have contact with the other university students from University of Amsterdam? Because the university is very big.
Yeah. I have some friends outside of this program. So I go to the big UPA, so the University of Amsterdam.
Is it close by?
It depends on what campus, but most of my friends go to the one that is about a 10-minute bike ride away from here. Yeah. It's not quite the center. But
you know, it's being close.
In the center.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I mean, it's not that far from the city center. You can take the bus or train.
Yeah.
There.
And you can also, in our university, since we have two parent universities, being the Vrije Universiteit and the University van Amsterdam, we can take classes in both of those. So we have friends who take classes at the VU and have access to all of those resources. And me, myself, like, I've taken classes at the UvA and I'm currently taking classes there. And I can do that. Absolutely.
Okay. One thing that for me was very difficult as a student who went to liberal arts college was I didn't know what I wanted to do after college. When students from other countries come to the Netherlands and after they finish university, the biggest question for them is, do I want to stay here?
Yeah.
And do I not want to stay here? And the same applies to you. And then when you study a program like this, you don't have a clear direction. So how is it like for you? Like, do you even want to stay here?
Yeah. I think it's definitely a difficult question for us to answer. Like, we are in the thick of this decision-making process right now with only a few months left of university or of our bachelor's degree. For myself, I definitely am staying in Amsterdam for the foreseeable future. That's also because for me, home, like my alternative home, would be all the way back in Asia, which means that I really want to just build on the foundation that I have created here and look into what it is that I can do after AUC. I love to also continue that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard because, like Sasha, like, you know, you build such a community here. The whole point of the university college is to build a community, and it does so really well, which means it's always really hard to leave. And like you said, Amsterdam is an incredible city. Like, it's so international. So I do want to stay, but at the same time, I'm going to be taking a gap year. And I, like, when I came into this university, I kind of said that my gap year would be for traveling and for just doing things like outside of Europe, I think. And I just don't know if I can have housing here and do like be able to travel the way I want to travel. But then I will be looking at masters here because I think they've got really good programs. So I might come back.
What do you want to do?
So I... through this program, to be honest, I realized that I'm really interested in the intersection of health and sort of like law and international relations. So I took a course which was called Global Health and International Law, where I got to basically see how law can impact health like all around the world. And I loved it so much that I want to find a master's somehow related to that. So, and the UFA and actually the VU have really good global health masters. So I might end up doing that.
Okay. What do you want to do after your master's degree? Like, what can you do professionally?
So I haven't really decided because the way that the things I'm interested in, either I can approach it from a medicine perspective, in which case I would probably maybe like go to Canada and study medicine, which I can do with my degree, or I want to study law, in which case I would go to Canada and go study law, or I want to go right in the middle and do the global health, in which case I would do this here in Amsterdam. And all those three would be to, in the future, like work in that field in like advising or help creating like policies or things like that, that indirectly or directly affect medicine and health.
I mean, I currently study psychology and neuroscience. And I would definitely be lying if I said I wasn't interested in looking into masters in those fields. But honestly, I think after AUC, I'm going to be looking into other avenues such as marketing and communications, just to also explore that avenue because it's like these are interests of mine before maybe eventually going back to my like academic foundation on psychology. But I've also, since I was like younger, have always been inclined to wanting to study education and to become a teacher. And so the great thing about the liberal arts degree is it offers you a very well-rounded background to go into maybe teaching, where you can just get a certification to be a primary school teacher, for example. And then I would then hopefully go on to teach in international schools.
So are you looking for jobs now since you're graduating in a couple months?
Yes, but in the idea that I am taking a gap year, so to find a job to allow me to sustain myself.
Okay. I feel like you sound really mean right now. So let me just clarify. I don't think there's right or wrong answer. I think, you know, everyone has to find his or her own path. So like, I didn't know what to do after college. And I don't think you need to right away. Your parents may want you to, but I think at a certain point, you know, anyway. So one last question, which I'm really interested in, is what was your expectation before you came here, and what is it like now? Do you if you could be honest here on this podcast, what do you think about your education here at this university?
I think sometimes, I think when I came into this university, like, I was really on a path that I was going to do medicine afterwards. Like, I was very much set on doing that. And I would say to myself, like, if I could go back to myself in first year, I would say, like, kind of just trust the process. Like, the whole point of going to a university like this is to kind of discover what you're interested in and develop your, yeah, like, your goals, but also your interests. And that took a stark turn at some points for me. And that's, like, really scary sometimes because you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, I'm going way off what I was expecting to do. But you kind of just have to go with it. And it's like almost like it's self-discovery in a way. So I would just say, like, that's kind of my view on it now of, like, I'm really happy I went through this process, and I'm happy I sometimes was doubting myself, and I'm happy that sometimes I was, like, veering off, like, way off left. But I think in the end, it kind of, like, turns back to what you need and what you want. And if you really, like, trust yourself and trust the process, then you will find your way through it. Okay. You know?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I think for myself, my expectations were very low because I had such a positive high school experience. I didn't really know what moving away would look like. And I just knew nothing about what it is that I wanted to study. So I was very much worried and had, like, certain low expectations about maybe the community that I would find. And I have to say, they've, like, my expectations were completely surpassed. And I'm leaving this university very, very happy and satisfied with my decision. I don't think this program is necessarily for everybody. As Gabrielle had mentioned, there are some people that know straight out of high school what they want to study. But for people like us that had broad interests, it is very ideal. And you get to do it in a very lovely city. And
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I just have a follow-up question to what you said. You said this program is not for everybody. So for who else is it not for, other than the ones who know what they want to study?
Maybe those that don't particularly want a bubble type of atmosphere. I think our university, because of the fact that we live in the same three buildings and we're not spread across the city, so it can be difficult. You have to be proactive in wanting to get out.
But you don't have to.
And you don't need to. And some people end up very much staying within the bounds of the bubble. So if you are someone that wants a particular level of, or a certain level of independence that goes beyond staying within, you know, a certain vicinity, like, maybe going to a larger institution is more for you. But also the type of teaching, I'd say, is quite unique in the sense that you are still, like, in high school, or at least in my high school, you are still in classrooms that do not exceed 25 people, mm-hmm. which is quite different to other large universities where you are, where you're going to be in lecture.
Interesting. Building. Tell me more. Do you only have one exam at the end, or do you have?
No, I call it rolling exams, but maybe that's the wrong term. Is there a right term?
They're just unit, and you get, yeah, they're continuous,
yeah,
assessments.
Like, so basically, none of our assessments can count for more than 35% of our grade, which means, and they also, there has to be a variation of assessments. So in one class, I can have, like, four things throughout, say, over, like, 4 months, I can have four different assessments, and each of them can be different things. So it can be group work, it can be an exam, it can be an essay, and then it can be a final presentation or, like, a final project. But that's kind of in the hopes of, like, the big thing with the university college is, like, be yourself, and also, like, you shine, like, go where you shine, you know? And so if you're able to do all these different types of assessments, then you're able to choose a program or, like, choose a class and, like, show your abilities in different ways. You know, like, I personally, I don't test very well. I don't take tests very well, but I can write a really good essay, which means that sometimes, like, I will definitely do better in classes where I can do a lot of essays
I see.
Over classes where I do a lot of tests.
Okay. Okay, perfect. I just realized we don't have that much time. I really want to ask you one more question about the current politics, because I read about this a couple months ago or a couple weeks ago, how the Dutch government's cutting funding for public universities in the Netherlands. How do you think about the situation, and what have you experienced so far from university?
I think our university has tried to instill a lot of reassurance and hope in the students in making us understand that this is not, if anything detrimental happens, it is not going to happen overnight. And there are a lot of resources, especially from the fact that we come from two different parent universities, that we will receive enough funding to last for, you know, the foreseeable future. But I think a lot of it is unknown at the moment. And I think our program is unique in the sense that we are very internationally inclined, which means that it is going to face more, to my knowledge, of course, it's going to face more cuts than another program that might not have as many international students. But again, we'll just have to see. But for now, our university does not seem very alarmed.
No, it's not really, like, I think it can be scary when you read it and when you hear about it. But currently, it's really not under threat of closing or anything like that. Like, if anything, it kind of shows that, like, people are still interested in this, and, like, people, there's, like, protests, and there's, like, so many letters that are written to, like, defend the university colleges, because they are really important programs. And, like, I've benefited so much, and I know that, like, everyone here has benefited so much from the program that, yeah, I don't think that it's, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I agree with the right-wing politicians' arguments, but I do understand their incentives.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
like, it makes sense.
It makes sense, right?
I get it. But because, okay, really, when you look at this, like, it's kind of a what's it called? Like a waterfall from, like, frankly, Brexit, right? Because I would have gone to the UK if Brexit hadn't happened because of fees. But then all the people who went to the UK came to the Netherlands. But then the Netherlands have had to absorb that into their education system.
Yeah.
And then because of that, there's, like, really big impacts on housing. There are really big impacts on Dutch students. So I understand that, like,
how does it impact the Dutch students? That's the part, one of the parts I don't get.
They can't, like, housing wise, because, like, there might be a student from Utrecht or, like, from Groningen or something who wants to go to the University of Amsterdam, but then tries to move here, can't afford the housing, and then a lot of international students can pay, like, way more in housing. So then there's just an imbalance.
Right. But what else other than housing? Is there another argument?
The system, I really don't know much about it, but the Dutch school system also limits the amount of students that can access higher education. So they have different systems of higher education.
Yep.
And with this program, for example, being at one of the highest levels,
mm-hmm.
only a certain batch of high school students can even apply here. And so not only are we limiting their possibility to enter a university like this from the beginning, there's also a lot of spots that are being taken up by international students. So the proportion of international to Dutch
too high.
Is arguably quite unequal in some programs and inside areas. Or at least that's the argument.
That's the argument, yeah. Is there any argument up against it?
I mean, I would argue, like, people who come here, okay, like, a lot of people who come here end up staying here. I think there's this view of the international students that they come in and they don't care and then they leave again. But actually, like, it's such a great country, to be honest. And, like, a lot of the systems work really well. And a lot of the people who come here end up want to stay and they want to contribute and they want to work here. And they end up learning Dutch and they end up being, like, a part of the culture.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, like, what, like, this is kind of just, like, an immigration thing then. Like, why should people immigrate? Why shouldn't they immigrate, you know?
Of course.
Like, it's just all of this within education.
This is real life. So they shouldn't take it away or take this opportunity away. Yeah.
I think this is also something that is difficult because, like, we're international students who, like, all we know is this, like, movement and, like, integrating into different cultures and understanding them, but also like keeping our own somehow. And so we see such value in that international system of like moving around and discovering new places. But I think it can also be hard for the welcoming country because maybe they don't understand that system of like internationalness. And I know the people who, like, no matter where in the world, people will always question, like, where are you from? And I don't have an exact answer. I think that it all comes under this thing of, like, have you experienced this internationalness? And there's not, like, it's not good or bad. It's just have you, and then do you see the value that it adds?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. So that's it for the episode. So if you're interested in affordable college educations, especially college degrees in Europe, please stay tuned with College Degrees in Europe. And I'm Jacob Toh. Thank you for listening.